reflection that guide both heart and mind. A better life through faith we'll find. A better life through faith we'll find. Reflections for the better life.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another splendid episode on the Silsila Reflections for a Better Life. And mashallah, today we do have a very important topic of discussion, and that is regarding crying in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, we are going to be mentioning the importance of crying in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and together with that we are going to be learning and educating ourselves how beneficial this is and understanding what fear of Allah truly and actually means. And also we are going to be mentioning narrations as well to explain this topic. You know, without a doubt, crying in fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is such a great blessing and honor. Even medically, crying has so many remarkable benefits, which we will also be mentioning that as well, inshallah. And together with that, we are going to be looking at some amazing incidents from the lives of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam and the Awliya Allah, the saints of Islam, showing how they used to cry in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, do stay tuned, and we are going to be diving deep into this topic of discussion, inshallah. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wasallam has very beautifully mentioned that the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be that individual who has recited the most amount of salawat upon me in this world. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So yes, dear viewers of Madani channel, we are discussing this beautiful topic, crying in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to highlight the importance of this, I want to narrate to you a beautiful narration in which it is mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, a man will be made to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he receives his book of deeds, he will find it replete with numerous sins, abundance of sins. And he will say, "Oh Allah, I did not commit these sins." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, "I have witnesses against you." That man, he will look to his right, he will look to his left, but he will see nobody around. He would say, "Ya Rabb, O Allah, where are the witnesses?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then command the man's limbs to testify. The ears will say, "Yes, we listened to haram, we bear witness to this." The eyes will say, "Yes, we looked at haram." The tongue will say, "Yes, I spoke what is haram." Likewise, the hands and feet will say that, "Yes, we moved towards haram." Hearing this, the man, he'll be left astonished, shocked, out of his mind. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands for the man to be taken to Jahannam, to the fire of hell, a single eyelash from the man's right eye will seek permission to speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when permission is granted, it will say, "Ya Rabb, O Allah, did you not declare that whoever wets even one eyelash with tears shed in fear of you, that you will forgive him?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "Indeed, I did." The hay will then testify, "I bear witness that this sinful servant of yours once wept, once cried in fear of you, and I became wet with those tears." At this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order for the man to be admitted to Jannah. And an announcer will say that, "Listen, this man has been saved from Jahannam, from the fire of hell, because of a single eyelash. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, from this incident, we not only learn the significance of crying in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also realize how vast and how boundless the mercy of Allah ta'ala is. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers limitless mercy upon His servants. In this world, the rule is that mistakes are instantly met with scolding or punishments. Yet, how infinite, how boundless is the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Despite our countless disobediences, Allah Ta'ala conceals our faults. Despite our sins, Allah Ta'ala does not withhold our sustenance. Despite our continuous errors, Allah Ta'ala does not close the door of His mercy upon us. And out of pure mercy, Allah Ta'ala hides our sins, dear viewers of Madani Channel. For indeed, His mercy precedes His wrath, His anger. However, there's one principle that we must always, always remember. If we are His servants and Allah Ta'ala is our master, it is obligatory for us to act according to His commands. After we do this, He will bless us as per His ultimate mercy. Now, what is the fear of Allah? What do we understand by this? You know, it's a huge honor. It's a blessing and a privilege to cry in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, having fear of Allah itself is an unimaginable blessing. Without this priceless quality, it's extremely difficult to avoid sins and love performing good deeds. But once this treasure enters our hearts, it becomes easier to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay away from disobedience. So what is this great blessing? What does fear of Allah truly mean? And this is what we are going to be mentioning now. You know, Amir Ahl Sunnat, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, he writes and he says so beautifully that fearing Allah Ta'ala means remaining fearful of His hidden plan, His independence, His displeasure, His punishment, the punishment He sends, the torments He sends, His wrath, and the destruction of one's iman as a result. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeatedly commanded the believers to adopt this quality. For example, in the Holy Quran, in Surah Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلَقَدْ وَصَيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Indeed, we emphasize to those who were granted the book before you and to you to fear Allah. Then in Surah Ahzab, Allah Ta'ala says, O you who believe, fear Allah and speak the true word. Similarly, in Surah Ali Imran, it is mentioned, وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, and fear me if you are people of faith. Subhanallah. So what should we truly cry over, dear viewers of Madani Channel? It has become clear that fear of Allah is among the requirements of iman, requirements of faith. Truly, being restless due to concern for bettering one's hereafter, weeping out of fear of Jahannam, and remaining overwhelmed by the fear of Allah Ta'ala, these are profound blessings, dear viewers of Madani Channel. Unfortunately, today, people cry over worldly troubles. Instead, nobody sheds even a single tear for the hereafter. I mean, reflect for a moment. What is this world worth that one should cry for it? This world is nothing but a temporary resting place where travelers stop for a moment and they leave after a few days. A traveler who stays for a few days does not build long-term hopes there. When you go to a certain place, you don't build long-term hopes. You don't have such fancy long hopes that you're going to do this, you're going to do that, because you know you're going to go back to your home. Likewise, a traveler who stays for a few days does not build long-term hopes over there, nor does he become attached to its luxuries and charms. So we shouldn't grieve over this temporary world, nor shed tears for it. Instead, we should cry. Cry out of the fear of Allah, love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and out of concern for bettering our hereafter. We should be shedding tears over the huge number of sins we have committed day and night, and our inability to perform good deeds. We should cry whilst thinking of the agonies, the pain of death that we will soon experience. Shed tears out of longing for Madinatul Munawwara. Cry out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hidden plan for us. Shed tears thinking about the qabr in which you and I will soon be lowered into. Cry thinking about how lonely, dark and constricting the grave will be. Cry thinking about the terrifying stages and scenes on the day of Qiyamah. Shed tears thinking how we will answer for everything we ever did in our life. You know, cry thinking about the intense heat on the day of Qiyamah. Cry imagining the bridge of Sirat, which is sharper than a sword, thinner than a strand of hair, which we must cross over. Cry out of worry for whether we will leave this world with our iman or not. In short, we must cry out of concern for our hereafter. If our eyes do not shed tears, then this itself is something that we must cry over. We must ask ourselves, why do my eyes not flow with tears out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We need to build the habit of crying out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, all eyes will shed tears except for three. And one of them shall be the eye that cried in the fear of Allah. And the next narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, O people, cry. And if you cannot cry, then at least strive to do so. For indeed, the people of hell will weep so much that their tears will flow over their faces like streams. And when their tears run dry, blood will begin to flow. And their eyes will become damaged as a result. Allahu Akbar. A man once came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will give me safety from the fire of Jahannam? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, through the tears your eyes shed. The man, he asked, how will I attain salvation from Jahannam? Through the tears my eyes set forth. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let them both flow in fear of Allah. For the eye that weeps out of the fear of Allah shall not be punished in Jahannam. Allahu Akbar. Series of Madani channel, alongside the Quran and Hadith, the statements of our pious predecessors also emphasize developing fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu once said to his son, never become a sifla. And the son asked, father, who is a sifla? Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, he said, a sifla is he who does not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, you see Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr bin Al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said that cry often. If you cannot, then at least make your face appear as though you are crying. He says, I take an oath by he who has power over my soul. If one of you truly knew the reality of things, he would scream so much out of the fear of Allah that his voice would fade away and he would pray so much that his back would break. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said, a single tear shed out of the fear of Allah is dearer to me than giving mountains of gold in charity. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Ka'b al-Ahbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that I take an oath by he who has power over my soul for me to cry out of the fear of Allah until my tears flow down my cheeks. This is more beloved to me than giving a mountain's worth of gold in charity. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers of Madinah channel, we learn that if one cannot cry, he should at least try to do so. You know, at times, due to an abundance of sins and hardness of the heart, tears, they stop to flow. One way to soften such a heart is through hunger and voluntary fasting. When the heart is soft, one will then find themselves crying in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whichever believer sheds a tear in fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if this tear is equal in size to the head of a fly. And that tear then reaches his face. Allah Ta'ala shall make Jahannam the fire of hell haram upon him. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also announced that he who cries in the fear of Allah shall not enter hell. Likewise, Sayyidina Ali, Karram Allahu Ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, he said, and when any of you cry in fear of Allah, do not wipe your tears with a cloth. Let them flow down your face, for you will be presented before your Rabb in that state. Allahu Akbar. Look at all of these virtues, Jeeves of Madinah, inshallah, that when you cry out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that same tear, that same eyelash will intercede for you on the day of Qiyamah, will save you from the fire of Jahannam. So we need to cry out of the fear of Allah. When last have we taken out that time to cry in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah ta'ala shall forgive whoever cries in fear of him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, nowadays people cry over trivial matters. Trivial matters. Matters that hold no significance. Matters that has no benefit for them, but yet they would cry over it. They would cry over this world. They would cry over loss of wealth. They would cry over many, many things related to this world. But very seldom would you get a person crying out of fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very seldom you'll get a person crying out of the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is where we need to cry, leaves of Madani channel. And of course, there are medical benefits as well. As I've mentioned in the beginning, at modern medical research has also proven that crying has a lot of benefits. Like experts say that the fluid that flows as tears from the eyes is different from other fluids produced by the eyes. And research suggests that it is beneficial for individuals to cry at least once a week for approximately 15 minutes. Beneficial. Crying once a week, it has a positive effect on mental performance. Tears help reduce cholesterol levels in the body. And tears shed during emotional stress. They relieve mental pressure, which helps prevent high blood pressure, diabetes, and heart disease. Holding back tears can cause dryness in the eyes, leading to weakened eyesight, whereas crying once a week helps maintain healthy vision. And studies have shown that tears contain several beneficial chemical components. Even a small amount of such tears can slow down blood clot formation and protect against certain skin diseases. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This information has been compiled with various medical websites. So, reviews of Madinah in general, perhaps after hearing these benefits, you may feel encouraged to cry. But remember, according to Islamic teachings, crying that one is rewarded for is only that which is done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of concern for the hereafter, or due to the fear of Allah Ta'ala. Crying for worldly reasons may benefit your eyes and health, but it holds no reward in the hereafter. And sadly today, we're only worried about worldly matters. We strive endlessly to improve our worldly life. We desire good health, financial comfort, relief from problems, and success in material goals such as wealth, luxury cars, and expensive phones, beautiful house, luxury house. But where is the same concern for the hereafter? How unfortunate that the yearning to improve our eternal life, our permanent life, is so rare. And if only we truly realize how temporary this world is. If only our hearts were cleansed from heedlessness. Allahu Akbar. If only we remembered how helpless we will be as a lifeless body. And if only the terrifying nature of hell, its dreadful punishments, and the thought of being deprived of the endless blessings of paradise shook us to our core. I will sincerely hope that, you know, by keeping all this in mind, the sphere becomes a means of guidance and mercy for us. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Three views of Madani channel. Now let us see how the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasallam feared Allah Ta'ala, yet they were infallible, yet they were sinless, yet they were ma'soom. There is no doubt that the prophets of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, they are exalted personalities. They are the highest ranked of all creation in the court of Allah Ta'ala. These chosen ones are entirely protected from the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, from the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, and from the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. So much so that Allah Ta'ala Himself has promised their protection, such that sins cannot even occur from them. Their status is so elevated that those they intercede for are also saved from the punishments of this world and the hereafter. I mean, despite being sinless and fully devoted to pleasing Allah Ta'ala, these pure personalities would still cry and show humility before their Rabb Azza wa Jal. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he would spend the entire night in ibadah, in worship. Many prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, they would cry and plead in the fear of Allah for days on end. Now, Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, he never raised his head towards the sky out of modesty before Allah Ta'ala. And he once performed sajda for 40 days consecutively, crying during this time. He cried so much, so profusely that grass began to grow because of his tears, eventually covering his blessed head. Allahu Akbar. So much he would cry out of the fear of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he would stand for salah, he would stand for prayer. He would cry so intensely in fear of Allah Ta'ala that the resulting sounds from his chest, it could be heard a mile away. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine the views of the new channel? Prophets of Allah, and they're crying in the fear of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. They are teaching you and I that we are sinful, we are drowned in sins. We commit sins day in, day out, throughout the night, behind closed doors, in public. Why aren't we crying out of the fear of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? We need to cry out of the fear of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The awliya Allah, the righteous servants of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and the saints, rahimahumullah, they would also shed many tears out of the fear of Allah. In fact, many saints even lost their eyesight due to the amount they cried. Even then, they would not stop crying in fear of Allah Ta'ala. Like Sayyidina Salih Murri, rahimahullah, he was a giant scholar of hadith and a profound preacher. While delivering speeches, he would physically tremble and he would cry uncontrollably in fear of Allah Ta'ala. Just like a mother cries upon the death of her only child, sometimes his intense crying and trembling resulted in a joint of his body becoming dislocated. His state of fear was such that if he saw a grave, he would remain silent and stunned for 2 or 3 days, abandoning food and drink entirely. Sayyidina Khawaja Mu'inuddin Chisti rahimahullah, he was so overwhelmed by the fear of Allah Ta'ala that he would constantly pray and shake in fear. He would advise people, if you knew the condition of those lying beneath the earth, you would melt away out of fear right where you stand. Allahu Akbar. So yes, Divis of Madinishna, we need to cry in the fear of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, because we are drowned in sins, dear viewers of Madinah Channel. We are so drowned in sins that sometimes a person finds it difficult to get out from. But we need to have hope in the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Shaitan is the one who brings you down. Shaitan is the one who doesn't want you to turn back to Allah. Shaitan is the one who keeps you drowned in sins. It is up to you to battle against him and to turn to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, no matter how many sins you have committed, no matter how big our sins are. But each and every time we commit a sin, We have to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek repentance. We have to make tawbah. We have to cry in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sincere tawbah. And yes, this is also very important, which we are going to be discussing as well. But for now, we do have a very beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go in order to rejuvenate our hearts, minds, bodies and soul in the love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, we will be right back to discuss much further into this beautiful topic, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Na koi aap jaisa tha, na koi aap jaisa hai. Koi Yusuf se puche Mustafa ka husn kaisa hai. Ae jalwa-e jaanana, ae jalwa-e jaanana, aaka
tu shama-e risalat hai.
Kausar ke chehre se niqab uthe jo saqi kausar ke chehre se niqab uthe har dil ban main khana har aankh ho paimana khana har aankh ho paimana
aaka tu shama-e risalat hai aalam tera parwana
parwana
tu maah-e nubuwat hai ae jalwa-e jaanana
pahuncha mar mar ke ise paya gir pad ke yahan pahuncha mar mar ke ise paya chhoote na ilahi ab sange dar jana na chhoote na ilahi ab ya rab sange dar jana na
aaka tu shama-e risalat hai aalam tera parwana
parwana
tu maah-e nubuwat hai ae jalwa-e
jalwa-e jaanana ae jalwa-e jaanana peete hai tere dar ka khaate hai tere dar ka peete hai tere dar ka khaate Dana hai tera دانا پانی ہے تیرا پانی ہاں پانی دانا ہے تیرا دانا آقا
تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانا
پروانا
تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوائے جانانا
ہر پھول میں بو تیری ہر شمع میں ذو تیری ہر پھول میں بو تیری ہر شمع میں ذو تیری بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل پروانہ ہے پروانہ بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل ہاں بلبل پروانہ ہے پروانہ
آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ
پروانہ
تو
جلوائے جانانا اے جلوائے جانانا وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ اے کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ اے کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ
آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ
پروانہ
تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوائے جانانا
سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری تا حشر رہے روشن نوری کاشانا تا حشر رہے روشن ہاں روشن نوری کا یہ کاشانا
آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ
پروانہ
تو جلوائے جانانا
اے جلوائے جانانا
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ very beautiful heart touching kalam in the praises of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the complete love for his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing crying in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus far we have mentioned many narrations and also the rewards for when you cry in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as the medical benefits of it as well. And just before going to listen to this beautiful kalam, we have mentioned that we are going to be discussing tawbah, repentance as well. And why do people delay in repenting? So inshallah, we are going to be mentioning its causes and its solutions as well. But before that, I want to highlight to you, in the light of the Holy Quran, the excellence of making tawbah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَنْ يُكَفِّرَ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَيُدْخِلَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. That, O believers, repent to Allah with such repentance which becomes advice for the future. It is close that your Rabb may remove your sins and admit you into gardens beneath which rivers flow. Subhanallah. At another place, Allah Ta'ala says, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِنَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Except those who repented and accepted faith and did good deeds, these people will therefore enter paradise and they will not be wronged at all. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Can you imagine, Bibis of Madinah, so much of rewards for making tawbah, so much of benefits for seeking sincere repentance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, though there is significance and excellence of repentance, some unfortunate people delay seeking repentance, being deceived by the nafs and shaitan. Now we are going to mention what are these causes. The first reason is remaining heedless of the dire consequences of sin serves as an obstacle to seeking repentance. Probably his reason is that a human being cannot see the punishment by which he has been frightened, whereas he immediately gets the result of his sensual desires. And a human being has a natural instinct that he gets attracted very soon to what he gets immediately, compared to what happens after a long delay. For example, a person who commits fornication gets attracted to the pleasure that he immediately gains from it and does not bother even to think about its punishments in the hereafter. Now, what is the solution? Such a person should contemplate, these punishments are certain even though I cannot see them. There are numerous worldly benefits which I leave because of any loss that is likely to occur in the future. For example, if even a non-Muslim doctor tells me that you are suffering from a heart disease, so completely stop eating food containing fat, otherwise your disease will spread. I will leave all fatty foods to avoid any loss in the future just by having trust in a doctor's statement, despite the fact that eating such items gives me pleasure. So isn't it foolishness that I leave my pleasure when a person frightens me, but I do not leave the impermissible desires of my nafs, though I believe that the divine promise of punishment is truth? Now, by the blessings of contemplating in this way, the obstacle will be, a person will overcome it, and the person will become successful in seeking repentance. The second reason, sometimes a person's heart and mind are so greatly overwhelmed by the pleasure of different sins such as fornication, drinking, looking at women impermissibly, joking with non-mahram women, watching films, etc., that he cannot even imagine to leave these sins. Without these sins, he considers his lives to be very lonely and full of sorrows. So he does not make repentance. Solution: a person facing such type of situation should ponder that if I cannot leave these worldly pleasures for some days of this life, how will I bear the pain of the deprivation of the pleasures, blessings of Jannah, forever after death? If I cannot successfully undergo the trial of patience, how will I bear the pain of Jahannam? Certainly, these sins, they give pleasure, but they result in prolonged grief. As a pious person says, I never commit a sin because of pleasure, because pleasure will come to an end, but the burden of sin will remain on your shoulders. And never leave a virtue because of difficulty, as the effect of difficulty will come to an end, but the virtue will remain safe in your book of deeds. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Now, if we have to think and ponder in this way, the obstacle will be removed and the person will become successful in making tawbah. When such a person will feel peace in his heart due to virtuous deeds, he will forget the pleasure of sins. For example, a person liked lentil, dal, very much, and he would not even look at any other food, even meat. His friends would invite him to eat chicken, but he would refuse the invitation, saying, any other food does not have such pleasant and delicious taste like this lentil. Eventually, one day when his friend invited him to eat chicken, he thought, let's eat chicken today and taste it as well. So he started eating chicken. When he ate the first morsel, he gained so much of pleasure that he forgot his favorite meal, that was lentil. And he said, take this lentil away. I will only eat chicken from now onwards. Now, without comparison, as long as a person remains engrossed only in the pleasure gained from sins and remains unaware of the peace one finds in virtues, he feels that these sins are the only pleasures of life. However, when he obtains the noor, the light of virtues, he forgets the pleasure of sins and starts finding peace of heart through virtues. The third reason is, one of the reasons for delaying repentance is that the nafs and shaitan corrupt a person's mind in this way that these thoughts and waswasas will come. There is still a long life to live, so you can repent afterwards. Or you are young, you can repent in old age, or you may repent after your retirement from the job. So acting upon the advice of the person's nafs and shaitan, this intelligent person does not make repentance. What is the solution? Solution is that think in this way. When it is certain that death will come, and I don't even know the time of my death, it is definitely a foolish act to delay having the privilege of repentance. My nafs is not agreeing to leave the sin today, so how will I get rid of it once it becomes the habit of a lifetime? What is the guarantee that I will reach old age or I will remain alive till the retirement of my job? A hadith says that refrain from delaying repentance because death comes suddenly. Nowadays, death is not specific to a particular age. Whether it's a child, an old person, a young person, or a middle-aged person, death treats everyone equally and takes a person to the grave, cutting off all the pleasures of life. When the time of death comes, nothing can serve as an obstacle to it, whether it is happiness, grief, engagement in something, or an incomplete task. One day I will also die and be buried in the grave. We will also die. If I die without making repentance, I will be regretful. I have this opportunity today. We have this opportunity today. So we should make repentance immediately. Person who thinks in this way, this obstacle will be removed, inshallah. We see the fourth reason. In our society, when people are persuaded to make repentance for sins, a large number of people are found who say these types of sentences aiming at making others speechless. They say, Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving. Allah Ta'ala is most merciful. We have trust in His mercy. Allah Ta'ala will not punish us. Such people do not agree to make repentance. What is the solution? The solution is, we must understand, no Muslim can doubt that Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving. Allah Ta'ala is most merciful. But as these two are the attributes of Allah Ta'ala, likewise, being most dominant and compeller are also His attributes. And moreover, it's also proved from the Quran and Hadith that some Muslims will go to hell as well. Now just answer your question, what is the guarantee that you and I will be blessed with the divine mercy and admitted to Jannah when those Muslims will be subjected to divine punishment and will go to hell? Now, Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he has said that if it is proclaimed, enter hell everyone, except for one person. He says, I have hope that I will be that person who will not go to hell. And if it is proclaimed, enter Jannah everyone, except for one person. Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I fear lest I might be that person who will not enter Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Likewise, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to his son that, oh my son, have such fear of Allah ta'ala that you start having presumption that if you present the virtues of everyone on earth in the court of Allah ta'ala, he will not accept them. And have such hope in Allah ta'ala that you have presumption that if you go to his court with the evils of everyone on earth, even then Allah ta'ala will forgive you. Subhanallah. I mean, think honestly, divas of Madinah channel. Aren't we expressing such absolute trust in the mercy of Allah ta'ala only to make the other person speechless? If you really have such absolute trust, will you agree to distribute your entire wealth and house amongst the poor and then wait that by his mercy, Allah ta'ala tells you about buried treasure? Or when you get to know that robbers have broken into your home, will you dare to place your entire wealth and jewelry present in your house, in a courtyard, having such thought that by the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will divert the attention away from your belongings or make them blind, and in this way, you will remain safe from robbery? If the answer to these questions is in the negative, where has your absolute trust disappeared now? To please Allah Ta'ala, get rid of the deception caused by our nafs and shaitan. As in a hadith, such a person has been declared to be a foolish person who has hope of forgiveness without repenting after committing a sin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a sensible person is he who carries out his accountability and performs good deeds for the betterment of the hereafter. And a foolish person is he who satisfies the desires of his nafs and then holds hope from Allah Ta'ala of the reward of the hereafter. You know, at another place, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that none of you should fall into deception by the attribute of the forbearance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jannah and Jahannam, paradise and hell, are closer to you than the lace of your shoe. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this ayah, in which it is mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. So whoever does a good deed equal to the weight of an atom shall see it. And whoever does an evil deed equal to the weight of an atom shall see it. Now hopefully, by pondering in this way, the person will soon have the privilege of making sincere tawbah, sincere repentance. That was the fourth. The fifth reason is, some people state the following reason, that we do not have trust in ourselves, whether we will be able to refrain from sins after repentance or not. So what's the benefit of making repentance? Now here, the solution is what? This is merely an evil thought instilled by shaitan because you don't know whether you will remain alive after making repentance or not. It's possible that you will die immediately after making repentance and do not even get a chance of committing a sin. At the time of making repentance, it's necessary to have the firm intention of refraining from sins in the future. It is Allah Ta'ala who blesses a person with steadfastness for refraining from sins. If a person does not become successful in refraining from committing sins, even then, at least he will no longer carry the burden of previous sins. No, forgiveness of previous sins is not something ordinary, but it is a great blessing. If a person commits a sin after repentance, he should sincerely repent again, as it is possible that this might be his last repentance and he departs this life after it. Like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that shaitan said in the court of Allah ta'ala that, oh my Rabb, I swear by your honor and majesty, as long as the soul remains in the bodies of your servants, I will keep on deceiving them. Allah Ta'ala responded and said that, I swear by my honor, majesty and exaltedness, I will keep on forgiving them forever as long as they keep on seeking forgiveness from me. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, and these narrations are there to motivate you and I to make sincere tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to cry in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when a person commits a sin and then says, Ya Rab, I have committed a sin, please forgive me. Allah ta'ala says, my servant knows that there is his Rabb who forgives sins and holds accountable for them as well. O angels, be witness that I have forgiven my servant. Thereafter, the person refrains from sins as long as Allah Ta'ala wills. Then again, he commits another sin. And again he repents. Ya Allah, I have committed a sin again. Please forgive me. Allah Ta'ala says, my servant knows that there is his Rabb who holds accountable for sins and forgives as well. O angels, be witness that I have forgiven my servant. And then the person refrains from sins as long as Allah Ta'ala wills. And then again, he commits a sin and again says, Ya Allah, please forgive me. Allah Ta'ala says, my servant knows that there is his Rabb who forgives sins and holds accountable for them as well. O angels, be witness that I have forgiven my servant. Now he may do whatever he wishes. Allahu Akbar. If you ponder in this way, the person will overcome that obstacle and will remain steadfast in making repentance. So yes, we should not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, some people, unfortunately, they remain involved in sins for a very, very long time. Theft, murder, robbery, terrorism, fornication, gambling, etc. And shaitan instills the following thought into the heart that, you know what, you're not going to receive forgiveness after committing such a big sin. Oh, it seems highly impossible that you receive forgiveness now. Lacking religious knowledge, these people feel hopeless and become more fearless in committing sins and do not make repentance. What is the solution? Solution to this is, and one should not lose hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, because the Holy Quran teaches you and I, in which Allah Ta'ala has said, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. That do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Now, from the following narrations, try to imagine how the mercy of Allah envelops the one who is hopeful of his mercy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Allah Ta'ala is merciful to his servants far more than a mother shows affection to her child. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that there are 100 mercies of Allah Ta'ala. He has kept 99 mercies for the day of Qiyamah and has revealed only one mercy in this world. Hearts of the entire creation are merciful because of this single mercy. A mother's affection and mercy towards her child and animals' affection towards their babies are because of this single mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And on the day of Qiyamah, this one mercy will be combined with those 99 mercies and distributed amongst creation. And every mercy will be equal to the levels of the sky and the earth. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So yes, dearies of Madani Sharam, you and I, we need to be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to cry in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, do not ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until then, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Reflection that guide both heart and mind. A better life through faith we'll find. A better life through faith we'll find. Reflections for the